Good morning. Good to be here. Would you stand to your feet, please, and stretch a bit? And then we'll ask for the core value that is the theme this morning to come up on the screen, if we could. There we are. I was thinking when Phil and Rhonda were sharing that that was very much in keeping with this core value. Let us read it together in unison. We value our local community. We will build relationships and make connections with our neighbors, both locally and globally. We will be concerned for people's well-being, spiritually, socially, and physically, with an emphasis on a lifestyle of peacemaking and creation care. Thus far, you may be seated. This core value is very clear that it's about being good neighbors. It's about using whatever gifts we have and whatever opportunities that come our way and use that to bless our neighbors, use that to reach out to them, use that to support them. I want to tell you a personal story to get us started. It's an old story already by now because I'm getting to be an old man, but not that old. This was back in the 1970s. I was a young pastor in the inner city of Winnipeg. Myrna and I were having babies and raising children at that time in our lives. One day, Myrna and I went up downtown to go to a fabric store. She was planning to do some sewing. Either for herself or for her children. Our children, I'm not actually recall that, what it was. This fabric store was off Portage Avenue, and Portage Avenue is probably the busiest street in Winnipeg, right downtown, connects up with Main Street. The Portage Avenue, I remember the store that we were visiting was just off Portage, about a half a block. Kind of in between the Bay and Eaton's, and back then we all knew what that meant. All the Mennonite farmers and all of Manitoba, I think, came to shop at Eaton's and be eating some chala, door of yet billy. Anyway, that building has been torn down years ago, and now it's the big new structure there is the home of the Winnipeg Jets, by the way, right in that spot. The Bay Building is still there, and I hope they don't tear that down because it's beautiful. So here's my story. We were pulling up off Portage Avenue, and we were parking, and there was the fabric store. And if you can't picture me in a fabric store, well, I guess I couldn't either that day because she went in, and I had the manly task of sitting in the car and thinking, whatever. I don't know what I thought about. I might have been thinking about some sermon ideas. That's if this was a good day for me. I might have been just thinking about the meaning of life, or if it wouldn't surprise me if I had been thinking about the fabulous Winnipeg Jets and Bobby Hull and his teammates, and at that time they were considered one of the best lines in hockey, one of the best forward lines in hockey. And when I went to a game on either a Friday or a Saturday night, I had to hold back. I had to control myself. I had to watch out because if I wasn't careful, I would lose my preaching voice for Sunday. And so that was always a bit of a tug of war there for me. I always settled down after the first few goals, which usually didn't take long. And then I could kind of start relaxing a bit more, but I was very tense when it started. I've grown up a bit since then, I hope in more ways than one. But anyway, here I sat, waiting for Myrna, and she was busy shopping. We were driving a little red, bright red Datsun car, and I was sitting there watching the door where she had disappeared. All of a sudden, it opened up, and here a woman stepped out of this door, and there was actually a few steps. They weren't very handicapped sensitive in those days. and they had a few steps coming down. And this woman got out, and I don't know if you can hear this when it's dead here, but she was kind of hanging on to the railing or something, and her other hand was shaking, and then she kind of made her way. And I watched, fascinating. She's out here shopping. And she made it down the stairs, and then there was a picket fence along the street, kind of coming towards my car where I was parking. And she was hanging on with one hand to the picket fence, and with the other hand kind of fluttering like a leaf in the breeze. And then she made her way down the street towards Portage Avenue. And she came to the back alley of that half block, and there was a step down, 5 inches maybe, onto the back alley. She hung onto the fence with one hand. She looked at the step, and she started shaking even more. And I thought to myself, my, she needs some help. And I watched, what was going on. And all of a sudden, somebody, I hadn't seen him coming, out of the back alley, a gentleman stepped up. He walked up to her, and he took her by the arm, and he gently helped her negotiate from this step down. And they made it. And then he walked her across the back alley, and he helped her up on back onto the sidewalk. And there was another building heading towards Port where she could kind of put her hand out and keep balance. And then she made her way to Portage Avenue. And I thought, wow, maybe there is hope for the human race. And by now I was watching my side rearview mirror. And I saw her as she approached Portage. And then I noticed that she was planning to cross Portage Avenue. And I thought, oh no, this is going to be dangerous. She will need help again. And I had it in my mirror. It was all there. And she stood there, shaking. Now, by the way, Portage has about 8 lanes, 4 one way, 4 the other, probably a turning lane. Loads of traffic, the busiest street in Winnipeg, pretty much, I think. And there she stood. And then I couldn't believe it. In my mirror, I saw another guy step up, offer his arm, and he gently, slowly led her right across that wide intersection when the lights, of course, were good for them. Hobie do. There is hope for the human race, I decided. This is something else. When Myrna came back, I had a story to tell her. And we drove on home. That wasn't quite the end of the story. Some weeks later, I think it was, I don't know what it was with me, but there was a thought starting to wiggle into my subconscious. I had a few notes here yet. There was a thought that was pushing in and pushing a bit. Started kind of gentle, kept increasing, trying to push past my defenses. Finally, I started to realize that I had been an unwitting participant in a reenactment of the story of the Good Samaritan. Right here in our community. And a very, very disturbing question surfaced in my mind. Not a welcome question, by the way. But it was there. How was it that I was a pastor, a young pastor, how was it that I had acted out the behavior of the priest and the Levite in the Good Samaritan story. And these two unknown gentlemen out there had both acted out the role of the Good Samaritan while I was watching. How could that be? What happened there? Why? Why did I do that or fail to do that? The answer that came to me, I suspect influenced by the Holy Spirit, was this: David, you were asking a question. You played the role of the priest and the Levite, because that is precisely who you are, Jason. Lord, have mercy. The last sentence of our core values says, we will be concerned for people's well-being. Excuse me, I was going to read a few more verses. I'll just track back a bit. 1 John 3, verses 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? He says, dear children, and by the way, when he says here, dear children, it's sort of like a parent getting a bit exasperated, saying, children, 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 don't you get it yet? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Pretty hard to argue with something like that, isn't it? Then I want to also read the Good Samaritan story before I continue on, out of Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. And I'll just find that in my Bible. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? This teacher, this expert, legal expert, answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, who was basically a religious church worker, so to the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, by the way, this was in Jewish territory, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were not welcome. He was traveling there at his own risk that day. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and stayed to take care of him. The next day he took two silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any expense you may have had." Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So now to the last sentence of our core value for today. It says, we will be concerned for people's well-being, spiritually, socially, and physically, with an emphasis on a lifestyle of peacemaking and creation care. Now, can you imagine this despised Samaritan taking care of this stranger who quite likely was a Jewish person? Can you imagine how that physical, life-saving rescue beside the road there could have contributed to seeding some seeds of peace between these two people groups? These two people groups who disliked each other with a passion. This action by the Samaritan was a lifestyle of peacemaking. By caring about the neighbor, especially if that neighbor is from a despised and rejected group. My question to you this morning is, do you have any despised and rejected people in this area, in this part of Alberta? Some years ago, our son Randall and his wife Daphne went on a Mennonite Disaster Service assignment, MDS assignment, to the state of Arkansas in the USA. They were part of a team that was rebuilding a black community that had been destroyed by a devastating tornado. Now, this black community was known to have a fair bit of reverse racism in its community. In other words, they hated the whites. They probably had some reason for that, especially when they look back on their history. They hated the whites. And Randall and Daphne and the MDS team were moving right into that community, the kind of community where you would not want to be out alone after dark. They began building. As I said, this community had their walls up. They would never, never consider inviting a white person into their homes, not to mention offering them hospitality of night lodging and food. And yet, this is exactly what happened at that time. A woman who's living by herself, had a big enough house, recognized that some of these workers needed lodging. And she said, I don't know what she all did to get to that decision, but she decided that she was going to invite them to move in with her, and she would provide lodging and food for them. Now, her son, who was not a part of the community, heard about this. And he contacted her and says, "Mom, are you out of your mind? We don't do such things here. We don't reach out to white people. Are you forgetting our core values?" This woman said, "Yes, I understand, son. But you should be here. You should see what's happening. Buildings, our houses are going up around us. And these people who do the work, they are such sensitive people. They consult with us. They talk to us. They're treating us with such sensitivity and love. We're being given friendship. We're being given dignity besides having our homes rebuilt. I have to invite these people in. So she did. As this project developed, this reciprocal behavior of the MDDS workers working hard, rebuilding homes, and as they had opportunity, relating to the community with respect and giving them dignity, listening to their stories. And this neighbor woman opening up her home and inviting some MDSers in to live with her against the strong negative advice of her son. Being good neighbors in this case was a radical act of peacemaking. That community was being revolutionized. It wasn't just new homes going up. Relationships were established that had never been there. And it changed them. It also changes the MDS workers. In the language of N.T. Wright from our DVD series that we just finished, this would be a case of God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, in answer to the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. But then there's that other thing in this value statement, and that is creation care, the final point in today's core value. I don't know, that's such a big subject, I should maybe just skirt around it and flee, but I'll just make a brief comment. I think, it's my opinion, that this is taking care of God's good earth so that the farmland will continue to be producing, the air will still be breathable, and the water will still be drinkable when our great-great-grandchildren raise their families in the future. Or, to make it much more current, what about 2015, when NCC came to visit us here and we had this fundraising golf tournament shortly after we arrived, and raising funds for, as already was already mentioned, this sand dams out in Kenya, so that those children didn't have to spend all day long walking out there looking for water, finding some old well, bringing this dirty wall back home late afternoon, and not being able to go to school for that reason. And the work that is being done even now as we speak is providing water, clean water, so that children can stay home and go to school, and they can grow up and find ways of earning a living. That's creation care. When we become good neighbors, we do so much more than talk. We help elderly ladies to cross the street. When we do that, we reenact the character and the love of Jesus in our communities. It's at this point that the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, becomes very, very compelling good news. Amen.